Our lesson tonight is out of Acts chapter 17, verses 13 to 17, among other verses, heeding the Holy Spirit under duress. The book of Acts explains the orderly and sovereignly directed progress of the kingdom message from Jews to Gentiles, from Jerusalem to Rome. So we can learn much about aligning our ministry efforts with God's sovereign work from studying the book of Acts. Acts 17, 13 to 17 reports that when Paul had been chased not only out of Thessalonica, but also out of Berea to Athens by pursuing Hebrews from Thessalonica, and he was concerned about the status of the Thessalonian converts and waited in Athens for news from Timothy about them, the Holy Spirit urged him to evangelize idolatrous Athens. This passage provides a lesson for disciples on heeding the Holy Spirit under duress. I want to read the verses and then we'll look at them. Acts chapter 17, 13 through 17. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul in Berea, they came there also and stirred up the people. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, by way of the sea. But Silas and Timothy abode there in Berea still. And they that conducted Paul brought him as far as Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timothy for them to join him, and with all speed they departed. Now while Paul waited for them in Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews, and with the devout persons, and in the marketplace daily with them that met with him. Okay, when Paul was led by concerned believers to leave Berea for Athens, he was actually under duress. And we know this from not only the context here, we know it from the context elsewhere in the New Testament. Following the generally positive reception of the gospel by the people of Berea, unbelieving Jews from Thessalonica, who heard that Paul had then preached the gospel of Christ in Berea, came down to Berea and stirred up the people of that city against Paul. Believers in Berea realized the danger Paul faced, so they quickly sent him off on the way to the sea, while Silas and Timothy remained behind in Berea. Now, those who were conducting Paul brought him as far south as Athens. However, Paul was concerned about the spiritual welfare of the believers back in Thessalonica, likely due to the intense hatred of the unbelieving Hebrews, who had pursued him from that city as far as Berea to stir up the city of the Bereans against him. So he sent Timothy back to Thessalonica. We know that from 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, 1 and 2 and verse 5. And to encourage the believers and then to report back on the condition of the church there. Timothy rejoined Paul in Corinth later, where the two Thessalonian epistles were written. So we read in Acts chapter 17, verse 15 in the English Standard Version that Paul sent word through the Berean believers who left him in Athens for Timothy and Silas to come to him as soon as possible with news about the Thessalonian believers. So Paul is down in Athens, is waiting for news. He's really concerned about the believers in Thessalonica. You've got these rabidly angry Jews who don't believe in Christ from Thessalonica. They're chasing him all the way as far as Berea. So he's wondering, what in the world have they done to those Christians up there in Thessalonica? These are new converts. Some think that Paul had been in Thessalonica maybe just 2 weeks. I kind of think that it was maybe a few months, but at least they were fairly new Christians. So he's concerned about them. However, while he waited for Timothy at Athens and was concerned about the welfare of the believers back in Thessalonica, the Holy Spirit strongly, persistently moved Paul to address the idolatry in Athens. When we came home to the United States our last time from Africa, we toured a little bit of Europe, and we actually landed in Athens. And even to this day, if you go to the old city of Athens, the Parthenon up on the mountain and Mars Hill and everything, it's true. They still got a lot of those idols up there, gods and goddesses. It's incredible. But for Paul, a Pharisee, that must have been really a tough nut for him to handle. But it was really something. While waiting in Athens, Paul's spirit was being continually irritated or stirred up. The Greek word is paruxento, which is a passive imperfect, unusual verb, of paroxuno. The imperfect means it's constant action in the past time. And passive, it was happening to him. There was something going on to Paul on a continual basis as he was watching these things. And as he was beholding or perceiving theroontos, it's a present participle of theroeo, that the city was grossly idolatrous or sunk in idolatry. Kat eidolon. Eidolon is the word for idolatry, but kat eidolon is, it means they were sunk in idolatry or they were grossly idolatrous. Since Paul's background was that of a theologically conservative Pharisee, according to Philippians 3:5, he would naturally have been offended at the gross idolatry that he saw in Athens. But the fact that he was being, that's passive voice, continually in perfect tense, irritated, stirred up, proxenento, by it all, indicates that the Holy Spirit was at work in Paul, prodding him to do something about the spiritual darkness that he saw there. In other words, he was absolutely restless. It was just, it was going on all the time. That's very typical of the Holy Spirit, especially if you're concerned about something that is unrighteous. That's what the Holy Spirit will do. He'll stir it up inside. He'll be restless about it. And sometimes you can't hardly even sleep because you're really bothered about something. Often the Holy Spirit will do that. He's done that to me before, kept me awake at night because of concern about something. So regardless of his concern over the state of the Thessalonian believers, Paul began to address what the Holy Spirit was strongly urging him to address right where he was, the spiritual needs of Athens. Now, there's a tremendous lesson in this. We can't deal with situations that are a couple of cities away or states away because we're not there. We can deal with what we're dealing with, what we face where we're at. And many times God will focus on, and I know he's done this in my life, he'll say, Don, where are you right now? You're here. You're here at Nepok Church. You're here. Okay, focus on this. Don't worry about that. I'll have to take care of that. You humanly can't take care of that over there. You can take care of this. And that's what the Lord did. He urged Paul to address the spiritual needs in Athens. So, Paul heeded the Holy Spirit's strong, persistent promptings by doing what he typically did in evangelizing a city. He first entered the Hebrew synagogue with the devout Greek proselytes there and began to reason with them from the scriptures about the Christian faith. We know this is Paul's method. Romans 1:16, it's the gospel is to the Jew first and then to the Greek. So he'd always go into the synagogues. The synagogues, as we've said many times before, provided a tremendous opportunity to preach the gospel. The Jews had a practice. If you had a visiting Jew come in and he knew anything about the scriptures, you would give him an opportunity to stand up and speak in the synagogue on the Sabbath. Because the Jews like to keep in contact with one another. We were very, very concerned. They're very strong in commitment to one another as a people. And so Paul used that opportunity to get in there, and he had an audience. He'd start preaching the gospel. And, of course, he always got this mixed result. Some people really hated it. Some people loved it, and some people came to know the Lord. But that's what he did. He went into the synagogue. He was reaching the Jews. But then Paul left the synagogue for the city marketplace. See, he was concerned about the idolatry. He knew the Jews were not into idols, but the people in Greece were into idols. He saw them all over the town. And so he went into the city marketplace, and he began witnessing about the Christian faith to whoever he happened to meet there, according to the English Standard Version, reaching lost souls of the Gentile word for Christ. In other words, if anybody was willing to listen and they were Gentile, he'd talk with them. See? And that's what he did. Anybody that was willing to listen, he went right at it. And of course, that led to a hearing that they, and we're going to see to that next week, a hearing in front of the Areopagus, which is essentially the Board of Education in Athens. Very deeply secular humanist, because that's where secular humanism was produced. It was right there in Athens itself. And he was able to minister the word there. But Paul was really focused. He focused on the Jews first, and the Greeks, the proselytes that came to the synagogue, but then he went out into the marketplace and he started talking with people. Now, sometimes they would have oratorical schools. They might have had oratorical schools in Athens, too, where you could get out and you could just practice speaking. So Paul used that at Ephesus. He went to Orthodox, to one of the schools there, and he started practicing his oratory, giving the gospel. So any opportunity he had to give the gospel that was very natural in the culture, he went with it. The lesson is, though Paul was very concerned about the spiritual state of the new converts that he had evangelized back in Thessalonica, due to the rabid hatred of the unbelieving Hebrews of that city that led them to pursue him in Berea and to turn the city of Berea against him, when the Holy Spirit persistently kept rousing his spirit over the idolatry of Athens, where he waited for news about the Thessalonians, he heeded the Spirit and evangelized in Athens. So if the Holy Spirit consistently stirs up our spirit to address a spiritual matter, even if we have other spiritual concerns, we need to address that matter as a priority, leaving our other concerns for the Lord to handle. Now, when I was typing up this application, I just finished typing up the application, and there was a tremendous application in my own life. It's one of those very sensitive areas I could never share from the pulpit, but it was amazing in what the Lord did. But there is an illustration I can share. A couple of weeks ago, it became known that as we were preparing to minister the Word of God in the Sunday morning worship service, I think someone, it might have been Sarah here, who's reading a missionary letter. As she was in the midst of reading it, the recorder cut out, and we stopped the recording, so we didn't actually get the sermon that came later. And so that alerted the board members to the fact that we've got some problems and we need to look into it. And I understand Jim Morey's got a man coming to who knows a lot about this information, I think on the 19th of January, and he's going to look at this and go at it. But my son-in-law has meanwhile done some rewiring and whatnot, and so far we're still getting some recording, so we are recording right now. But at that particular point, it was something that was a concern to me, because if we stop doing these MP3 recordings all of a sudden, I know I've got a brother that's listening in Mesa, Arizona. Michelle here has a brother down in New Zealand who's listening. And online, there are a number of people we know in other states, South Carolina, Florida, and other places in the world who are listening on a regular basis. And I was just concerned about that. But the Lord indicated to me, well, Don, what did I call you to do? I call you to come and minister at Nepok Church. So I realized, the computer I have has been given to me, they use church money so I can have it. So I have the computer and I can record stuff on the computer. I can send the information on the computer to their webmaster who puts it on online. But when we first came to Nepog, we didn't have computers. I had a typewriter. Sometimes I would, correct the work. I'd type it over maybe 10 or 15 times. Once I actually did it, I think it was 20 times. It was. I still have that typewriter. It's underneath our bed. In case I ever use it again, I probably never will. Probably can't even get parts for it now, let alone ribbons. But that's all we had, is typewriter. But the Lord reminded, Don, I called you to Nepog Church. Your first priority is the people in Nepog Church. I'll take care of the rest. If I want this ministry reaching out by way of the internet, if I want to reach out by way of the MP3s on the internet, I'll take care of that. But your job is to make sure that you're getting the word out to people. It's kind of like Paul was told, you're in Athens. Okay, what do you do in Athens? You see idols? What do you do? Address it. I'll take care of Thessalonica. You're not in Thessalonica. I'll take care of Berea. I'll take care of Timothy and Silas. You focus on Athens. And that's what the Lord indicated with me. Focus here at Nepog Church. So that's what we need to do, is pay attention to what the Holy Spirit is leading us to do. There are priorities that God has in our lives, and he wants us to pay attention to the priorities that he has us. We have a job to do. It's so much like my father. I remember one time I was complaining, wondering about how my brother Paul was going to do something with the Herald Bell, or my brother Steve is going to do something with the baler. And my dad came to me and said, but I put you on the swather, right? You're supposed to be swathing the hay. You focus on the swathing. I'm the boss here, not you. I'll take care of Paul. I'll take care of Steve. You work on swathing. Yes, sir. So I went ahead and worked on swathing. The swathing is where you cut the hay and condition it, run it through a conditioner. Then my brother, the other brother, ran the baler that baled it. And my third brother, he drove a harrow bale that picked up the bales and then stacked it on the side of the road. So it could be going, it could go down to the Petaluma feed mills, and they made it into pellets for animals. But it was just like my dad telling me, you focus on the swather, I'll take care of the rest. I'm the boss here, not you. And that's what God wants us to do. Pay attention to what the leading of the Holy Spirit is, and if the Holy Spirit is really strongly working and provoking us almost to get at something, we need to focus on that, and then God will bless us.